Hi, and welcome to Swiss Info's program for May the 9th. I'm Jeannie Wirtz. If you go to Charles Eugster's website, the first thing you notice is muscles, then medals, then a man with a mustache who looks to be around 65 or 70. Eugster is a record-breaking athlete.
I am known at the present time for breaking the world record for 200 meters indoor.
He's a divorcee, a widower, and a bachelor.
I've discovered that the dating agencies only produce young girls up to the age of 70.
And he's a firm believer in the benefits of exercise.
I wanted to do something to improve my physical appearance. And so at the age of 87, I joined a bodybuilding club.
In today's program, we'll find out how Charles Eugster spent the first 95 years of his life. We'll ask some 11-year-olds, how old is old? And we'll talk to University of Zurich researcher Mike Martin about lifestyle and longevity. Charles Eugster was born and raised in the UK, but learned Swiss German from his parents, against their will.
They were convinced that if one, at a young age, how shall I put it, were involved in more than one language, one would get mixed up and so forth. It's a peculiar idea, but they thought that it was absolutely essential that when they spoke with me that they spoke in English. However, when they wanted to have a private conversation with each other, they would speak Swiss German. And I was, of course, then able to understand, but I had to keep an absolute straight face and not let them know that I understood what they were talking about. Otherwise, my cover would have been blown.
Charles first came to Switzerland as a young man.
My family moved to Switzerland just before the war in 1939. And being of dual nationality, I was then, of course, called up to the Swiss Army, and I spent the whole war in Switzerland. During this first period of the war, that was in 1939, nothing happened. Germany had already conquered Poland, and the Allied and German forces just looked at each other for a whole year.
His mother and father both died during the war. After it ended, he attended university in Zurich. Then he trained to be a dentist in London, Chicago, and Heidelberg. Dentistry wasn't his first choice, he remembers.
I thought that I was mentally insufficiently capable of being a physician, because at school, my teacher said to me, "Eugster, if one were to put your brain into a skull of a sparrow, it would rattle." And so I thought, being a dentist, all you have to know about is so many teeth, and I ought to be able to manage that.
Eugster finished his studies in 1952 and opened a dental practice in Zurich. He chose Switzerland over both the United States and Germany because of the quality of life it offered.
In the United States, you have to work extremely hard. The competition is absolutely enormous. I considered that the possibilities of opening an enjoyable practice was more in Switzerland.
Eugster had been a champion rower in the 1930s and 40s. At age 63, he took up rowing again, training 6 days a week. Between 1997 and 2013, he earned 40 World Masters gold medals. But when he was in his late 80s, says Eugster, he began to lose muscle.
In spite of the fact that I was physically active, that didn't prevent sarcopenia, that is the official name for loss of muscle mass and power and strength. And so, being an extremely vain person, I wanted to do something to improve my physical appearance. And so, at the age of 87, I joined a bodybuilding club. And I employed a previous Mr. Universe as my coach.
Today, Charles is the reigning over-80s world champion in a fitness competition called Strenflex. On his website, you can see a video of him learning to wakeboard at age 87. He says the three factors that contribute to successful aging are work, diet, and exercise, in that order. Yukster is living proof that you can be fit at any age.
I met my present coach when I was 89, and I was able to completely rebuild my body. In fact, I am now convinced today that it is possible to have a beach body at the age of 90.
Let's go surfing now, everybody's learning how, come on a safari with me.
Old is a relative term. Just how old is old? I asked a group of 11-year-olds on their way home from school.
If I say someone is old, a woman is old, how old would you say she is?
60 to 65?
55.
50 to 60?
60 to 70?
Someone says, that's an old woman. What makes them say that?
With old, I understand a bit older than, well, young. I think 28, 30 is still young. And 40 is a little older. And from 65, you're just old.
And because of the way they look or how they act?
Yeah, they look old. And if you know them, they talk a lot about their childhood. And that was really pretty long ago. 60 years.
Ask a 58-year-old how old is old, and you're likely to get a very different answer.
Well, I would say very old. I think that's more than 90 is old for me.
And what does a researcher say? Mike Martin is a gerontopsychologist at the University of Zurich. He studies the psychology and science of aging.
With people living longer and longer, the definition of old is changing. What would you consider old?
A typical answer of a scientist, it depends. We have different ways of defining who's old or when a person is old. So a very pragmatic definition is typically when people are retiring. So that's currently typically 65. And when people have reached a life expectancy of a particular country. So that would, in Switzerland, be 80 years for men and 86 years for women currently.
I think Switzerland just moved up in the rankings in 2014. They're the second longest longevity, aren't they?
Yeah, Switzerland belongs to the top three countries in terms of life expectancy of men and women combined. So Japan, Singapore, and Switzerland share the three first positions. And it's only been recently that the life expectancy of men in Switzerland is reaching more than 80 years. Very few countries have that same finding.
According to Martin, people with better education, larger social networks, and higher incomes tend to live longer. Physical activity may also play a role. But there's always more than one factor involved.
Yes, maybe hiking more or being physically more active is typically related to longer life expectancy. However, if you're also smoking and are overweight and do base jumping, then that may not really count.
What about learning? Is it true you can't teach an old dog new tricks? Not for humans, says Mike Martin. There's actually no limit to how long you can learn.
The oldest person on record, Jeanne Calment, she lived to be 122 years and 9 months. She took part in a memory training study at age 114. It's a published study. And she also did improve. And it was interesting because when she was asked why she would participate in such a study, she said, you always have to try out new things.
Trying out new things seems to be a characteristic of older Swiss, at least when it comes to the use of new media.
We've just finished a second wave of asking people at different ages about the use of internet, computers, tablets, portable internet, and other devices. We've done this 5 years ago, and now just recently finished a new study, representative study for Switzerland. And you can see that Switzerland is the leading country in the OECD countries of older people using internet, web-based applications and smartphones and portable internet. More than 40% of 65 to 80-year-olds use these devices. And the ones using it, also within the OECD countries, Switzerland is the ones where the people use it the most.
There also doesn't seem to be a limit on people's ability to adapt to change, says Martin.
In all studies where you have people being exposed to changes, you know, beginning from a partner leaving or dying and adjusting to it, moving to other places, moving even to other countries at an old age, changes in the physical abilities, changes in the social network, wherever you look, there doesn't seem to be any difficulty in adapting to these new situations. And it doesn't seem like there's any difference in the ability to do that between people of different ages.
Many people are especially afraid of developing Alzheimer's disease as they grow older. Researchers are trying to find ways to do more than just treat problems.
Let's say I had found out something that you would have to do on a daily basis for you to make sure you don't get a certain illness. Unfortunately, as you get older, you can also get ill from other illnesses. And in the end, you would end up spending Mondays 8 to 10 preventing dementia, and then 10 to 11 preventing depression, and 11 to 12 preventing social isolation. And imagine what a life that would be. Your whole life would consist of waiting for disaster and trying to avoid it. This is why we're so interested in healthy aging. So the question is, from our perspective, what is it that healthy people do? I mean, as people get older and they stay healthy, because these people typically do what they feel are meaningful activities. They're engaged in their social environment, and through that engagement, they use their cognitive abilities in various combinations. And they don't do this to avoid dementia. They do this to lead a meaningful life. So I think that is what we have to take prevention research, you know, to really not only examine the people who get the illness or are at risk of getting the illness, but really trying to understand how or what people do who don't get the illness, and to really understand health.
What plays the biggest role in healthy aging?
The main influence on how good people live or how long people live is not their biology or genetics. It's mostly, to the largest degree, lifestyle factors.
How we deal with aging depends on our perspective. Back in the 1980s, the Journal of the American Medical Association published an essay by a doctor named Paul Ruskin. Ruskin wrote about a lecture he had given to a group of nursing students. He described a patient. She was a white female who couldn't speak or understand what was said to her. Sometimes, he wrote, she babbles incoherently for hours on end. She didn't know who she was, where she was, or what time it was. But she did seem to recognize her own name. The patient had to be fed, bathed, and clothed by others. She had no teeth. She couldn't control her bowels. And often she woke up in the night, screaming for someone to comfort her. Paul Ruskin asked the students how they would feel about taking care of the patient. Frustrated, hopeless, depressed, and annoyed, they said. Ruskin said he thought they would like taking care of her. The patient was his 6-month-old daughter. That's all we have time for. Many thanks to technician Jakob Stoller. For more news and features about Switzerland, see our website, www.swissinfo.ch. Thanks for listening. Tune in again next week. I'm Jeannie Wirtz.